This is professional radio, gentlemen.
That would and be it's front wheel drive.
Scotty, have you got anyone you want to thank?
Just myself.
And now we do the after hours.
Gentlemen, what would you go for?
Thanks to your sin there.
Okay, and because it's not a supercar.
But it is.
It's not.
Automotive perfection comes in the form of two letters, A and U.
Long live my LTD.
Welcome to Car Talk. It's Tuesday night here at 98.9 Northwest FM. It's me, Matty J, online with Mr. David Prince and Mr. Rob Zadai. How are you guys?
Awesome.
Doing well, thanks, mate.
Good to see you both, your lovely faces. Rob, we'll start with you, mate. I've been away. You've just gotten back, Mr. Vietnam over here.
Yes. Tell us all about it.
We'll start with you. How are you going first? And then we'll get into your car updates a little bit later. But how was your trip, mate? Tell us about your trip.
What can I say about the trip? It was long, almost 4 weeks.
Wow.
12 days of riding up through the north of Vietnam. We had a lot of rain beforehand and rain during our ride. So very slippery and very muddy in places. When we went off into the sort of up through the hill tribes, up through little villages that don't really have made roads as yet, so through a lot of mud.
Wow.
A lot of us struggled through the mud, crashing our bikes.
Oh.
Yeah, hence me hurting my leg on the second last day of the ride.
Ugh.
So that got infected and swollen up, and I ended up having to go to the doctors whilst I was in Vietnam, and had to get it. I ended up getting a ultrasound done on the leg because it was that swollen.
Bloody hell.
It was pretty bad, but there was no broken bone, a doctor said, and there was no tissue, major ligament damage or artery damage. It was just I hit the motorcycle so hard when I come off it, it just blew out.
Oh.
I was only doing not even 5 kilometres an hour when I fell off it because I was almost stopped.
You're kidding. What?
Yeah, it was just these slow accidents where the bike stops and you keep on going and it's just that small, hard hit. Normally, if you come off at speed, you slide and you don't hit anything. Mm. And
unless there's something stops you slide.
That too. So I had to sort of nurse my leg and limp around for another week and a half after the ride. Done a lot of sightseeing this time. We went to Da Nang and Hoi An. We basically took the train trip from hell from Da Nang all the way down to Ho Chi Minh City.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about that.
Yeah, it was like it's anything between a 18 and a 20 hour trip on a train that's it's air conditioned. One thing, and air conditioning worked pretty well, but the condensation of the air conditioning leaked off from the roof onto you and onto the floor. The train was very unhygienic, very dirty. We're crammed in these little sleeper bunks. There was only one sort of like a cafe area cart right at the very back of the train where they actually cooked, prepared the food and had all the cargo, which happened to be chickens and cats and things like that.
That's handy, I suppose.
Yeah. Well,
the ingredients were fresh.
Cook up the soup in front of you. It was fantastic. So that was an experience. It might be all right if you're 18 or 20-year-old backpacker, but when you're in your 50s, it's not comfortable.
Yeah.
But we persevered. We got there, and it's an experience I'll never forget.
Was it a different company to the one you've gone with before?
Same company. So the same guy took us to relatively the same places, slightly different tracks here and there, a couple of different hotels. So he mixed it up a little bit for us because he knew that we'd been there once before, but pretty much the same countryside, same scenery. Great doing it the second time to compare it to the first time because the first time is the best experience.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I think, Dave, you're probably, going to Japan, you've probably been there a few times. And I think there is memories from the first, and then you try to relive some of those memories. and it's just hard to sort of, like, your luck on certain events and things that happen whilst you're on a trip, and to replicate that, it's very difficult.
It's very difficult. You're right. I think the trick, I think it took me a few trips to realize the trick is go back to the places you love and that you want to see again and you enjoy going to, but also try and do something new every trip. You know, go to a new place, have a new experience as well. That I've got a list of places I haven't been to yet that I'm really interested to go and see. So, yeah, you do have to mix it up a bit. But I hear exactly what you're saying. Was it a different time of the year that you were there compared to last time?
Believe it or not, it was only about a week and a half, 2 weeks earlier.
Wow, okay.
Cold and rainy. Whereas when we went last year, it was hot. It was in the 30s.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
There wasn't much rain about. So it was just a drier climate. It was like two different sort of riding events.
Yeah, okay, wow.
Yeah, so it was that different. And it was very slippery, very muddy. We've had, on the first day, we had one of our group have a head-on with a local. So he ran wide. He veered left instead of right. He zagged instead of zigged or whatever.
Yeah.
And smashed into the scooter, broke the front wheel off the scooter and the forks and all that. We thought the lady was hurt pretty bad, but after going to hospital, she was cleared of any injury. Yeah. And so they're trying to get dispensation for loss of income and all these sort of things, and you know, replacement of the bike and everything else. Then the police got involved and they wanted their bit. So he had to pay police out. He had to pay the lady for her bike. Luckily, not for any lost income, but for the motorbike. There was a scooter that he rode off. So that ended up costing him 25. We call him the $20 million man because it cost him 25 million dong. Oh. To pay off the police and $20 million to pay for the scooter.
How much is that in dollars?
About $1,600.
Okay.
So it was some big money, but it's still
enough.
Substantial.
He wasn't hurt.
So no one was hurt, which was the main thing. So they walked away from it, which is a good thing. And that was an experience. So we thought, let's all take it easy.
Ed, this is motorbiking through Vietnam, Ed.
Motorbiking through Vietnam. Let's take it easy after a head-on collision with the local in a little town, in a little village. And so that was an experience. He actually smashed his boots when he hit the other bike, and he had old boots, so they fell apart. So he had to tape his boots up for the rest of the trip. and the bike was all mangled and all that sort of stuff, so he had to pay for the repairs of that motorbike too. So for a new headlight, header tank and shroud that he broke and bits and pieces. So that was that first accident. And then the second day, another guy came off and he bruised his upper leg pretty badly, like I bruised my lower part of my leg. So he was limping for the whole trip. And then we had all these offs. One guy smashed a crankcase on the bike and oil was leaking out everywhere. Another guy on the last day ran off the road, slid across the road in an Armco barricade. Oh. And lucky there were no cars coming the other way or anything as he slid across the road. Oh. And bent the fork to a point where the forks wouldn't go up and down anymore. So the support vehicle just rocked up, pulled the forks out, got a new set of forks out from the back of the car. Obviously, they must experience this.
Brand new roll.
Roadside fix.
Roadside fix, brand new set of forks on it, and off we went.
Wow.
Yeah, so, but... the scenery again was fantastic. The weather really made it different. So it was a sort of a whole different feel to it. When we were going down the river through the caves and whatnot, it was all foggy and overcast rather than sunny. And you know, you could see all the mountains. You couldn't see the mountains this time. Last time we could see the mountains. So a different feel to the whole trip. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we did see different things too. So we went to Da Nang, the old quarter of Hoi An, which is central Vietnam, which is fantastic. It's a must-see place. We went up to the mountains over there where the French used to go up there for their holidays when they occupied Vietnam. So there's a lot of history there with the French, of course. They're getting richer and richer over there. They, you know, they've got a Rolls Royce dealership there and Lamborghini dealerships and
wow.
All the cars. Like you G wagons everywhere. I don't know where they all come from. There's a lot of G wagons in Vietnam, so there's a bit of money getting around. So
you're sure they're just not Suzuki Jimmies with that kid on it?
I saw a couple of little Suzuki vans, which I was done up. Did you see the one I sent to you, Maddie?
That was so good.
So, there was a whole lot of little K cars and stuff like that around as well. But what else? There wasn't really anything that really stood out that was, that was unique, other than the K cars. We went to an oyster farm. We went to Halong Bay again. But I took this time, we went at the start of the trip. So it was instead of towards the end of the trip. So the guys had an absolute ball. There's 10 of us getting pretty well wasted on the cruise. One night, 2 days. And we went to different places too this time, which is fantastic. We went to an island, went to caves, went canoeing. I actually got to canoe steer and paddle one of those bamboo rafts that you sit on and take all the people. And so I was taking all the tourists on it. So I was paddling stuff like that. That was fantastic. Slightly different experiences, and we try to do different things. So as you said, Dave, you always try to do something a little bit different.
Yeah.
Next time I'm going to try going up the Mekong and go up to Laos and Cambodia and stuff like that. So we try to do something totally different. And it's still value for money. You know, you can still buy $1 beers and stuff like that. And
wow.
You know, so 23,000.
I mean,
23,000 dongs for a tiger beer, which is about 94 cents US and I think $1.14 something.
It's so cheap.
Yeah. So it's good. It's good. Mm. So, yeah, man, we're back to reality. I had to start some of my cars. So when I came back, I had a warning come up on my Ford Transit that it's gone into battery saver mode because it hasn't been started for 3 or 4 weeks. I want to start that up and run it for a little while. But the other cars were on charge, like trickle charge, and the batteries are disconnected and whatnot. So they all started, but one of the battery on the E30 is dead. I have to get another battery. So I don't know what happened there. It died. I let it go for too long. I didn't have it on charge. I don't know why I didn't charge it. And it was, yeah, so apart from that, yeah, still working on that laser. Paint got messed up for the third time.
Oh, jeez.
Paint it again. That's all right. Well, I think it's not that bad this time. We can block it back and just give it a quick coat.
Yeah.
And it should be okay, but still, it's been a nightmare, that car. But apart from that, that's it. Went to the Grand Prix when I got back that day with a crook leg. but I was going to go. I paid a lot of money for the tickets. We're in AMG. So we watched an AMG Lewis Hamilton break down right in front of the Mercedes stand. Yeah. Really ironic.
Awkward.
Yeah, very awkward. So it was good to see Verstappen, his car break down. So it made the race a bit more interesting after a couple of years.
It opened it up, didn't it?
Yeah, so, yeah, that's me.
We also heard Mr. Edward Bunting has joined us. Hello, Edward.
Hello, good evening. Sorry for my tardiness.
That's all right. David Prince, updates with you.
Since last week, what have I done? I dropped the AH Civic, the Grand Prix Edition, down to John Blair Automotive in Moorabbin. They've got a couple of – they're now no longer a Honda dealership, but there's still a Honda specialist workshop, and they've got a number of guys, I think I've mentioned them before on the podcast, that are absolute gurus. So, and I love the old stuff, especially my old rubbish that's like around the place. So they hadn't seen that one, and it was actually bought new from John Blair. So they were pretty tickled to have it down there after 40 years. So they've got a couple of guys that they're chomping at the bit just to go over it and just, you know, make some little tweaks and adjustments to it along the way. It's got a little noisy, some noise in the gearbox that goes away when you put the clutch in. It always has had that car, but my son's actually rebuilt a gearbox for it. So while it's down there, I might grab the gearbox from him and get them to put it in, because it's much easier when you've got a hoist to just swap a gearbox over. I think they thought it was the input shaft bearing, I think. but the thing, I mean, you drove that car last week, Matty. I mean, it drives sweet as a nut. It's
great.
The gear shift is lovely in it. All the linkages are fine and everything. It's just if we can put it, rather than go through all the trouble of trying to replace the bearing, I think we'll just swap the boxes over. It'll probably be quicker.
Yep.
About it. No further word on the N1. Oh, no, that's not true. I did ring a compliance workshop that the importer suggested I contact and make a start building a relationship with them so that I can, when the car arrives, I'll actually have the all the paperwork in place for it. They've got a, actually now I remember I did mention last week because I looked up that we have to make an account with Department of Infrastructure and then they operate on my behalf. So
okay. That'll
just continue to cook away in the background. I'll keep you updated as that comes along. Exchange rate's pretty incredible with the Japanese yen at the moment. So it's about 97 cents, I think. I got to the 97 yen to the dollar, which is pretty good. Yeah, that's bubbling along in the background, as I said. Nothing else, I think, to report car-wise. I had a pretty lazy weekend. I just moved a few cars and didn't do an awful lot else. Did a bit of gardening rather than car stuff this weekend. Had a nice drive last night with some friends in the pouring rain, but it ended with a nice Palmer, so that was a good way to finish the night.
Absolutely, makes up for it.
Yeah.
Edward Bunting.
Hello. And I was actually going to text you about that, wasn't I, Matt, where we ended up, and I goddamn forgot. That just reminded me.
Good on you.
So, car updates. Last time, I think I still had a Saab. I sold the Saab 900 fairly quickly to the first person that came and looked at it, which was very encouraging. It was a young kid of 18, came with his dad, and he said, I don't want a Merc or a Beamer. I didn't want a Mazda or a Honda or something super sensible. He said, I wanted something a bit different, but still was reasonably safe and whatever, whatever. And he kind of latched on to the idea of a Saab. And so...
He's the next generation of us coming through. Sign him up.
Yeah, and I was very,
very cool.
Happy to encourage that. So
yep.
I did them a bit of a deal on it, and it had the roadworthy, as I said before, on this podcast, I think. So he's going to put it on full reg, I believe. I don't think it's going club. I think it's going to go full reg. That went 2 days later, and, he's very happy with it. So that's a good news story, the old Saab. What else have I done? I don't think I've bought anything else other than my auntie's Orion. She was going to trade it on a new Honda HR-V hybrid. And so I said, well, I'll give you a little bit more than what you've been offered trading and buy it. So I picked that up Saturday night from down in Geelong and, fanged it back on the Geelong Highway. That's an 08 Orion, which is, I think, that first shape. I don't think there was one prior to that.
No, that's the first one.
It's the base model ATX, so it's not got all the wood grain and leather or any of sunroof or any of those things. But I was saying to Matty J yesterday on the phone, my God, those things are refined. Like,
yeah,
it really is so incredibly silky and linear in its power delivery. And I'm sitting on that Geelong road, and I just thought, God, this is what cars have lost. They've lost being comfortable. This thing is so comfortable over bumps. It just soaks up those Aussie roads without blinking. And I thought, really, in terms of refinement and quietness and smoothness, that car can teach the Euros a thing or two, Yes, the Euros are good, and I've driven plenty of nice Mercs and Beamers, but that for a simple Aussie-made V6 thing, that car is incredible. And no wonder, it sort of shows in the pricing, good Orions with low mileage are still commanding quite good money. Like, I looked on car sales and there's 2016 and 17 Orions, the very last couple of years they made them. They're still 26, 28 grand. I think I saw one.
Wow, really?
That's a 7-year-old car now. That's no longer produced, and you just think, they've held up pretty well. But certainly for under 10 grand, well under 10 grand, you can get into an Orion with, reasonable Ks on it. And it's a lot of car for the money. You can see why old people like them because they're just comfy.
Mm.
A lot's going to be said about that, Edward, because, you know, like those cars, them, and I said this to you yesterday, those, you know, Falcons, Commodores, they were made to do big Ks on terrible roads comfortably. They were just meant to eat Ks up.
Big comfy Ks, yeah. That's yeah. Right. So
that is what they were built to do.
I am a fan of that car. Anyway, I actually put it online on Sunday afternoon because I thought, well, I'm around Sunday, Monday within reason. I can, and I'm selling it no reg, no roadworthy. It can just go as is. But I thought I'll just put it on Marketplace. If I get someone who actually wants to turn up and come and buy it, well, they can come and buy it. And I had about 40 pings on my phone. And so I thought, well, the price is obviously not too far out of whack of the market if that's what's happening. And then one guy, I rang him and he was meant to come and look at it, but never showed up. But I just thought, oh, all right, now I don't have time because he didn't show up. So I thought, now I'm out. My window has expired, so it's going to go to Grays and they can deal with the 40 inquiries. So it's going to Grays tomorrow morning and get auctioned. But, yeah, I'm reasonably confident I'll get the money I need given the interest that I had for a few hours on Sunday. So there's a car talk top tip. Just advertise something and see what interest you get, and then unadvertise it, and then go send it to the auction. at least you've built a bit of an audience.
I just wanted to add to that. Like, that's the reason I got my dad into an Orion. Ed. Like, it's just comfortable, easy. I mean, we still paid 20 grand for his, but like he's only had 60,000 k on it.
Like that. That's a newer car than this one.
It's a 2016, and you know, like he loves it. He reckons it's, you know, the best car he's ever had because it's just, you know, it's reliable, it works, it's comfortable, it does everything a good car should, and that's, you know,
if you're okay with it, because they're not the most exciting thing to look at or drive, but I started having delusions of saying to my father, well, why don't we sell the Pajero that's still worth almost what we paid for it, and go and buy a 10 grand Orion and you'll actually be more comfortable. You'll use similar fuel on the highway. I mean, sort of, you know, it's not a crazy idea.
It really isn't. Like, and they're reliable. The 2GR's brilliant engine, like super smooth, you know, it just puts the power down, as you said, beautifully. You know, really they're a really good thing. I've always been a fan of an Orion. You're right. Yeah, they are. You know, they can be a little bit boring to drive, but they've got plenty of grunt. Like they get up and go. Like they bloody hammer.
I've been in it the last 3 days, 4 days. I've probably done 300 k's in it, and I'm definitely impressed with that. And the ATX base model I've got is it's got an electric driver's seat. You know, up, down, every which way, and it's got electric lumbar on the driver's seat.
Mm.
So just a little switch down on the side. You know, in out lumbar.
What's it got safety wise, like airbags and stuff?
Oh, ABS. It's got two front airbags, it's got two pillar airbags, curtain airbags in the front, and seat. I think it's six. One, two, three, four, five. Yeah, six. And I think the back, you're just dying in the back, you know.
Traction control system though?
I don't think so.
Okay. Maybe that came in a bit later.
I don't think
there'd be a button down on the lower dash near the door. That would be.
I haven't looked for it.
Yeah.
I haven't looked for it.
Still for an 08, you know, that's
fantastic. Yeah.
He hasn't taken it sideways yet, David, so he wouldn't be able to tell you.
Bluetooth cruise, remote locking, steering wheel audio, six stack CD player in dash. Ooh, hello.
Mm.
And even the audio system's pretty good. It's at like a six speaker system. Huge boot. It's just, I don't know. I might not pay 40 grand for one because there's other things you'd rather have. But when they're like well under 10 or even well under 5 in a few cases, you think, my God, that's a lot of car for the money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you had 10 grand to spend on two cars, you could have an Orion with a few Ks on it and something else smaller, you know, like not a bad pair.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, that's that car. When I... no other car updates really. Oh, I got the tires put on my Pajero. Did I say that last time?
No, is it quieter?
Instantly gone.
Really?
So the Kumos that were on it had plenty of chunk left. They hadn't been rotated as often as you probably should, and they just got noisy. You know, it wasn't the car was pulling or out of alignment or anything horrible. It was just, you know, just droney. So much so that it almost sounded like a wheel bearing. And as soon as I drove out of the place having these Yokohamas on that I found on Marketplace and had them put on, nothing. Just, you know, you hear the diesel, you hear normal Pajero noises, but you don't hear any tyres.
Normal Pajero noises.
But that fixed the droney tyres. Then I had it aligned by your mate, Reed, just to check that it was within spec. And he said, look, it is. He tweaked things by millimetres. But he said, that's fine. But the next thing I want to do on that car is shocks. Not that they're terrible, but he said, look, they're a little on the soft side, but they're the original shocks. Like, yeah, it's done 225,000 Ks on original shocks. Well,
yeah, you're
kind of due for some. So
how is Reed?
He's good. Yes, he's good. Yeah, I've seen him a couple of times recently. So I'm going to put probably a set of Bilsteins in it, which will last long, long, long time.
So I had original shockers in my Jeep Commander, and I swapped them out for old man Emus. Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Cheese.
Yeah,
big difference. The OEM shocks just didn't work at all.
Wow. Well, from what I read on the forums, OEM Pajero shocks are pretty good, which is why most of them still have them in it at those sort of Ks. They don't sort of chew out. I think they're a KYB or something like that.
Yeah, KYB is Japanese thing.
But Reed sort of said, look, either go Bilsteins or Konies. He said it's a bit like Holden Ford, which one you go. There's no real, you know, one that's any better than the other. But the Bilsteins were cheaper, and I've always had my mind on that's what I do. So, well, no excuse. Cheaper, and yeah, I'll probably go that road. And then that'll at least keep my Yokos, you know, humming quietly for as long as possible. Oh, on tomorrow, I'm driving the Prado. Oh, I got the Prado out of storage. Did I say that? So I bought that Prado diesel a year ago, and I had that in storage because of an impending trip to Fraser Island, which is happening tomorrow. So Maddie's going to be partaking in that little jaunt. And, yeah, Prado fired up, and then fired up straight away, actually, after being in storage. And I disconnected the battery, of course. But then it promptly died straight away, and I went out. And then it was crank, 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 nothing, nothing, nothing. And I thought, oh, shit, here we go. But it was just the lack of diesel up at the motor. And after a few, you know, 30 seconds of cranking sort of thing, it sort of coughed and spluttered, and then she was fine. It hasn't put a foot wrong since. So that's all good. We gave that an oil and filter change last weekend, and it's going to be going to Sydney tomorrow. So Sydney and beyond. Matthew, what about you?
Lovely. Updates with me. I've dropped the Typhoon off today. That's to get the rear main done, the turbo return line gaskets done, which weren't leaking, they were just weeping. The sump had a bit of a weep, but it's kind of like a while you're in there job, just do it anyway. So doing that. And then, I've got to put my new clutch, which I had sitting there in it as well. And obviously the new slave cylinder, which I wasn't going to spend genuine money for, as I mentioned, I think a few weeks ago, as to how much of a joke that was. So, dropped that off today. He's like, it should be done some point this week. But he's like, if you want us to take a bit more time on it until you get back, that's totally fine. We can do that as well. So that'll be kept away for that. What else have I done? I think that's been pretty much it in my car land. I drove all the cars on the weekend, actually. Took them out one by one and had a bit of a drive. And so that was nice to get them out and about before the torrential rain we had yesterday. So that was quite nice, actually, to get them all out and drive them again. But I think that's it on my car updates, gentlemen. Moving on to tonight's topic is what would you rathers. We're bringing what would you rathers back again. I like a what would you rather. You like a what would you rather. We all like what would you rathers. So let's get cracking. Now, how what would you rathers work is basically I'll give you a list of cars, and then it's kind of like a this or a that. Which one would you take? Ed introduced the new and now kind of thing. So I'm happy to continue that if you guys are. But first of all, I want to start with late 90s sport coupes. Now, there were some fun cars.
Very specific genre.
It's back when it was kind of like their last hurrah before they just kind of vanished. They didn't really exist in the in the 2000s as prevalent as they were for a very long time in the 80s and 90s. So these are cars that I've always kind of liked, and every time I see them, I'm like, "Oh, that's a yeah, that's a cool car." And the first one is the Peugeot 406 Coupe, which I think is still a stylish looking car.
Pininfarina design.
Yes.
Mundo. Yeah. The Alfa Romeo GTV V6, yeah, which is the late front wheel drive. You know, this is probably a 1998 model. That one. The S14 200SX, which was, you know, Nissan's sports coupe. And which I know what David's going to pick, the Honda Prelude, the final shape, the that would be the fifth gen, I believe. So yes. So that'll be the, that in a in any spec. So again, cool. These are in any spec. Up to you. The Peugeot and the Alpha you can get in a V6, and the 200SX and the Prelude can only get in a four cylinder. But what would you take then, and what would you take now, gentlemen?
Oh, then and now, yes, okay.
I can go first because I'm pretty black and white about this shit. I think back then I probably would have picked the Peugeot.
Mm.
Very stylish car. It still is. You know, it's a good looking coupe. No one could ever argue that. But they didn't come in the diesel in the coupe, and I'm a bit of a diesel head. So if it was a Peugeot HDI diesel coupe, I'd be taking that now and then. But probably now I'd go – back then I would have gone the Peugeot, but now in hindsight I'd probably go the Prelude, I think.
Okay.
So Peugeot, Prelude, they're my two. Nissan, boring, never did anything for me looks-wise. What was the other one?
Alpha
GTV.
Basically. Alpha, forget about it. I do Italian. Alpha. Although they were fun to drive, no question about that. But no, I don't want one then, and I don't want one now.
Mm, very good. Rob?
That's all.
Well, I wouldn't have considered the Alpha until I drove my mate's Alpha recently. And so the Alphas feel like a little go-kart to drive. They are awesome. So I'm going for the Alpha.
Ooh, there you go.
Maybe back then would be the Nissan because of just being a cult type car.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe the Alpha, something different.
Something different, yeah. Mm. Mm. David Prince.
Yeah, well, it's fairly predictable, I suppose. But honourable mention to both the Peugeot and the GTB.
Mm.
The 406 was beautiful, a beautiful design, especially with that buttery tan leather that they came in and the nice sort of dark blue or mid-dark metallic blue with the buttery leather. That was a gorgeous-looking thing. I know someone that's had one for many, many years and just loves it, but especially in a manual. You'd only have a manual, thanks very much, and the and the petrol. And good friend and a fan of the show, Mr. Michael Green, has a GTV. It's only a twin spark GTV, but I've watched his restoration of that. And I've grown quite fond of the shape. It was a funny shape when it first came out. Again, Pininfarina, I think, wasn't it?
Sure? Yeah, I think so. Very wedgy, aren't they?
Very wedgy. But yeah, I've had had a bit to do with that car since he's been restoring it, and it's actually a really pretty car. I really like them now. The V6 would be fun to drive. Is your mate a V6, Rob?
No, his is the twin spark.
Yep. Well, see, that's a sign of a good car. Even, you know, if you can have fun and it's like a go kart to drive in a smaller engine version, a la NA MX5. ND MX5. With the better. A lot of people prefer the smaller engine. But a nice Prelude VTIR in a manual again would be where I'd probably sit most happily with that H22A. I think it's got that.
Mm-hmm. H22A.
Yeah, beautiful thing. Beautiful thing.
So,
the Nissan's left me a bit cold. I was never a huge fan of the S14. Sorry, Scotty. Can't defend it. But honourable mention to the 406 and the L.
I've always liked the 406. I thought the 406 was a really good-looking car. I remember when they were, like, still relatively new as a kid. I was like, that was a kind of an aspirational car. I was like, that's a really classy car. Then I proceeded to see the workshop near my work have six of them there, four, and then you got another two later, which all were just, they just couldn't repair them. They just didn't have the parts for them. So that would always terrify me because they were such a good looking car. And you're right, the interiors were lovely too, David. Like they were really nice. And
yeah,
so, and from all accounts, they were actually really nice to drive. The Alfa for me, I can't even want to say this. I was going to pick the Alfa because I know this is weird for me to say that. I remember seeing them either on the Price is Right or on something else as the winning car. And I was like, that's a cool car. And it was the weird shape and it was kind of, you know, interesting. And there wasn't many things like that. And when you lift the bonnet, that it doesn't have circle headlights, it's actually got one headlamp. So I thought they were kind of cool. So I probably would have went the Alfa back then. And I might just take the Alfa today just because I always not a big Italian car guy, but there's just something about that car kind of always interested me. And I've always like, you know what, I wouldn't mind owning one of those one day, even though it'd be terrifying to own. But even if it was a twin spark, I think the twin spark's the better option. It's a safer bet. Because the twin spark is quite a reliable engine from what I've heard, just due to a timing belt, which is fine.
And the key is finding someone that can maintain them, you know, if you can't do it yourself, finding someone good. And there are plenty of people that know them well and good workshops around. More so for the Alfa, I think, than the Peugeot these days.
Yeah, absolutely. Next one is Edward inspired because, you know, he's recently purchased an Orion. It is the TRD Orion versus the Rally Art Magna, which was the Rally Art Magna could be had with a manual as well as an auto. Was quite a quick car. Had the full Evo spec body kit. I think there were BBS wheels as well, or Oz Racing wheels. I think they had on it as well. Massive spoiler. It looked insane. It looked like a Evo on steroids. Still front wheel drive, which is kind of a bit interesting that they kept that front wheel drive purely for the fact that they did offer a all wheel drive version. Yeah. That wasn't automatic only. So I was like, well, if you're going to offer an automatic version, you should have had that as an all-wheel drive too. So a bit weird that they didn't, but both these cars are front-wheel drive only. Both Australian made, both Australian history. What would you buy then and what would you buy now?
Oh, it's easy. I really like the look of the Orions. I mean, I think they did a really nice job of changing what, as we've discussed, is a fairly forgettable-looking car. Just a really good wheel fitment, a very subtle body kit, some nice striping and stuff, and it really transformed the look of the thing. Never driven one, but by accounts they were pretty quick and very refined, as Ed was saying. So that would have been a great choice, I think, back in the day. I think they came in red and black,
silver.
And like gunmetal. Oh, silver, yeah, okay. Yeah. And they even had, which was very racy for Toyota at the time, I think, like red leather interiors or red inserts in the seats.
They did.
Well, I think I'd be the same. I think I'd be Orion. Much as the Magna kind of will look cool in the day, it's a bit retro now, I suppose. I'd always go a Toyota over a Mitsubishi, I think, given the choice.
Likewise. Well, I was going to say, I would have chosen the Orion now, but I'd choose the Magna now.
Ooh, okay.
Orion then, Magna now.
Orion then. Yeah.
Okay,
and why would you take the Magna now?
I'd be two Orions, I think. Orion then and Orion now.
Okay. Our good friend of the show, Andrew Rigglesworth, has inspired me a little bit with the old Magna situation.
That's right.
I mean, they're incredible. They, when you look at the factory, what the factory produced over there, like I think they were, at the time, I think they were the only... Ed knows how I love a sunroof. They're the only car offering a factory sunroof, I think, in Australia at the time.
Okay.
But also, yeah, the two-wheel drive, four-wheel drive options and stuff like that. I mean, they were pretty – there's a fellow in our club who lives in regional New South Wales who has a selection of beautiful Hondas but also has a T – I think it's a TL Magna, mm-hmm. One of the very last of them. Constant four-wheel drive, reckons it's the best car he's ever owned. We'll not part with it. So I think poor old Magnus were maligned early on, you know, and a bit of a butt of many jokes. But I think by the end of the run, they're actually pretty impressive cars. And fantastic export campaigns, you know, brilliantly successful overseas too.
I'm also going to add to that. I think the Magna was a very, I think it was an underappreciated, but you know, it wasn't super underrated. For actually, that's the word I'm looking for. It was a super underrated car for what it actually was. You know, the V6 refinement was great. You know, the transmissions were good. It wasn't for lack of trying, I don't think. You know, like they always were trying to do so. I remember the ad when they brought the all drive Magna. It was, they did a drag race between a Commodore, a Falcon, and the Magna. Even the Camry, I think they had the race with. And it's like, equal until the first corner, and then what happens after that? Like on a dirt road, and all the other cars crash, and the Magna just keeps going because it got all drive. So like, it wasn't for like a trying. Like they did things that you know the other three were just too scared to do, like doing all drive and doing offering different transmissions earlier than other companies. So for example, in the TJ series of Magna, you like the base V6, you got a four cylinder, so you got a four speed auto, but you could also, and if you got a few option for a TJ Sports, you could get a five speed automatic and a five speed manual. So and not many companies were doing that at the time, you know. So so like they really tried, genuinely tried, and it's a shame because you know people seem to laugh about Magnas, but they weren't a bad thing. I remember going into Magna to high school. The guy down the road from my house used to take me, and my dad used to take his younger son because you know we swapped when we were in high school and primary school, and yeah, he had a Magna wagon. V6 3.5, and it was a quick car. He used to go, and it sounded good, and I always remember the dashes were so big and flat and pushed back into, you know, it looked like they had so much room in them. So yeah, I was always a fan of Magnas. I never understood the hate. Everyone's like, oh, the front wheel drive, they must suck, but that's completely not true.
We hired one years ago in Queensland as a rental car, which most, when you hire cars, they usually are rental cars. but we had Odysseys back then. And so, you know, we used to having all the kids having their own place, but it had plenty of room for the five of us. And it was great to drive. The sports auto in it and 3.5 was a great car. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, they had plenty of grunt. Like
to the AU Falcon we had the previous time we were up there.
Yeah, not as good. Not as good. I will agree with you in terms of refinement. It wasn't as good. Rob, what would you have taken?
Probably the Orion, but I've come across a few Magnas over the last couple of years, and I even had a encounter with one up through the hills up towards Nuji. I was on my motorcycle, and this car came flying around me, which happened to be a Magna. I think I mentioned this once before. And I could not keep up with this Magna. Like, you would not believe through the corners, and it flew. I struggled to keep up with it.
Wow. Was it an all-wheel drive?
I don't know what it was. All I know, it was a Magna.
It must have been a late one, like a late 3.5.
It wasn't the latest. It wasn't like a 380. It was a previous model, but it might have been a V6, yeah.
Yeah, it would have been.
The thing flew. So I respect the Magna. But I think what sort of really, I suppose, gave the Magnas a bad reputation is the people who bought them secondhand didn't maintain them. So they crashed the crap out of them. They never maintained them. And every Magna you saw down the road was blowing oil and they were just beaten up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and because
I would say even if you did maintain them, some of them just burn oil, and ours was one of those.
All right,
and our friends was one of those. Like, these were cars that were not driven hard, you know, always serviced, and and they still used oil by 150, 160 k. You know, they're chewing, you know, whereas a Camry just wouldn't, or an Orion or whatever else. But some of them you got great runs out of, but more often than not, they started having issues without provocation. Like ours, you know, ours was a TR93. We bought it when it was 1 year old, 12,000 K on it. It's a 3 liter V6. So it wasn't an old car. That I had the oil changed in that oil and filter every 5,000 K from the day we got it. We sold it at 160,000-ish K, and it wasn't blowing smoke on startup or anything, but it was using oil. So probably valve stem seals, you know, even though it wasn't belching smoke out. And that's a perfectly service-driven car. So they did it, you know, whereas if that was something else, it would be still running now. You know, it wouldn't have done that.
Yeah, well, I'll agree with you too. Like, valve stem seals were a problem in those. And they... but
pretty much people... in every Mitsubishi petrol, every Mitsubishi petrol, you know, since day dot, is valve stem seals are an issue.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
But once you sorted them out, they were fine. Like they had
no issues. Yeah, you could probably, you know, pull the head off and do what you need to do, and then that's probably all right. But
see, here's the thing, and the reason why the survival rate on Magnas is so low now these days, because they didn't have a great resale. Like Mitsubishi never had great resale on their cars, which was really weird. You're right, Rob. They were bought, the second owners bought them and they never maintained them. And by the time
you got to maintain your Magna, Matt.
You got to maintain your Magna. So you know, by the time that happened, they were pretty hammered, and then they ended up as a people out of car and then written off, you know, or given to the wreckers. Which, you know, it happens with cheap cars. Like when cars go cheap, you know, they don't get maintained, and you just use it as a form of A to B. But you like we were saying at the start of the show, Ed, like, and you mentioned this with Orions, like, yeah, for 6-7 year old Orions, they're still commanding good money, and you're not going to do that to a car that you spend good money on, are you? So no. I mean, some people do, but you know, it was a different mentality when it came to a Magna, and I think they got that undeserved, I would say, reputation of unreliability from people that just didn't care, like they just did not care. So, so for me, that was a big issue with that.
It's sort of you know, like one or the other, isn't it? I mean, you know, valve stem seals are a big thing when you have to replace them or, you know, get it all done, and and people weren't looking after them as well. So it's a combination of several things that's failed the car, really.
Yeah, correct. Like, but again, if it's like a I'm just looking on car sales now. There's a $3,000 Magna all-wheel drive TJ Series 2, 338,000 Ks on it, and it's just had new cylinder heads, VRS gasket timing belt, water pump. It's basically all done, rebuilt transmission under warranty. I mean, that's $3,000. Like, that's, you know, that it's and it's an all-wheel drive Magna too. You know, that's. You know, it's a lot of car for $3,000, but then when you're buying for $3,000, are you going to care for it? It's just you're going to use it until it breaks and then, you know, piff it away and get another one. So, yeah, I just don't think they got the love that they were. And to be fair, Magnus, when they started, we've discussed it before, like their early automatics had issues and things. But once you got them right, they were totally fine. Whereas you just didn't get that in a Camry. You know, and or an Orion, and they just kind of just kept going. Yeah, they were, I think a Magna's got more personality than a Camry, but in the same token, that the Camry was, in terms of reliability, is, well, it's a Camry, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So yeah. So Rob, would you have taken the Orion then and Orion now, or you both?
Both. All right. Yeah. In and now.
I would have taken the Orion then. And I'd probably still take it now, purely for the fact that it's, I mean, they're both quite rare cars, a Rally Art Magna and a TRD Orion. But, you know, just the refinement of that, you know, 3.5 liter, you know, 2GR V6 is a remarkable engine. So I would have went for that as my choice. I think it's time for the quiz, gentlemen.
Ooh. Hi.
Question one, the Mitsubishi Magna.
You sound like the voice of the guy from the ad.
Which one?
Any of them.
Oh, voiceover guy, yeah.
So you guys know the rules, 10 questions plus some bonus questions. Let's crack on. Question one. Actually, Edward, you can do question one.
Question one.
Brake fluid in cars is rated using the DOT system. What does DOT actually mean?
Oh, I did know this.
Rob, I'll just take his guess. Rob, at Department of Transport, maybe?
Department of Transport is absolutely correct, Rob. Well done.
Oh.
That is what wow. that is what DOT stands for.
A very good guess.
Yeah, Rob, go buy a scratchy or some what's it called? Some quick picks. Question two: staying with fluids, the W in oil ratings, i.e., 10W40, stands for what?
Ed.
Rob.
Ed got in there first.
Wait, I think
incorrect.
Oh,
Rob.
The viscosity.
Yeah, but in terms of the actual W, what does the letter W, what does it mean?
What does it mean?
It's an abbreviation for something.
Heard of it?
Now, I always thought it was like 10 weight, 40 weight, but obviously not
quite.
David.
Rob, I'll give you 0.5 because it has got to do with the viscosity, but it's not the answer I was looking for. David.
It's from the Dutch for meaning viscosity.
Viscosity. I'd love to give you the other 0.5, yes. but I can't.
Viscosity.
Viscosity.
Yeah. Waffle. It stands for waffles.
It stands for winter, because that's at its coldest temp. The oil. Winter. Question three: in Japan, they called our first generation Tarago, which we got here, known as a Tarago, the what?
Ed. I think it was a space wagon.
Incorrect.
David. I think in America it was Vanagon, wasn't it?
That would be the VW. They had the space wagon.
Oh, van wagon. I think it was van wagon.
Rob?
In America.
I sort of missed most of the question, but I'm just putting another guess out there. The Star Wagon.
Star Wagon, that's incorrect.
That's Mitsubishi.
It was called the Master Ace. So they had the Town Ace.
Master Ace.
Question four: which company uses Avant in its model names?
David
got in there.
No, Audi. He didn't. That was me.
Audi. Very good. That is correct. Bonus question: for Audi, what does this mean?
Ed
got in there.
Wagon,
correct. bonus question. What does the word actually mean in French?
David. I want to say forward.
That is correct. Forward or ahead. I would have taken either of those. Okay. Score check at question at the fifth question mark. Edward on 1, Rob on 1.5, David on 2. Question 5. The Daytona arcade game, which was at all our car arcades, came out in what year?
Is this closest or it has to be exactly?
I'll give closest to for this. Ed.
1984,
says Ed.
I was going to say that. So I'll go 1983,
says Rob.
I'll go 1985.
85, says David. David is surprisingly closest. Come in 1994.
Oh, wow.
That late.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I said. 94, not 84. 94.
Is that what you said, Edward?
Yeah.
Bonus question: who made the game?
David. Is it Sega?
Sega would have taken either of those. It's absolutely Sega. Correct. Well done.
Sega. Sure.
Question six: FPV, so full performance vehicles, at the height of the beast.
Can I just say, I got an IT question right.
You did.
That's like very the good first day, time man. In the history of anything that's ever happened.
So when Alan listens back to this, because he's a big video gamer, he'll be yelling at the screen at his radio, but he'll also be like, "Well done, David Prince." That's question six. At the FPV at the heart of the B Series era got into a specific form of motorsport that wasn't circuit. What was it?
Wasn't circuit.
So they weren't circuit racing these cars. They did
drag racing.
Drag racing is incorrect.
Not circuit racing.
It's not dragging. It's not circuit racing.
Rob, I'll take a guess.
Yeah, Rob.
Sometimes stupid right out there. Rally.
Rally is incorrect. You're probably closest to Rob, to be fair, but it was drifting. They actually made a drift car.
Okay. Really?
They did make a drift car. Bonus question: which of their cars in their lineup did they use for their drift car?
The F646.
I'll pay that, Edward. Yeah, they did use an F6. They used the pre-production car that was never allowed to be on the road. So then they just put a cage in it, and then they took it drifting. And then Warren Luff thought he was really cool by trying to drift it, and then crashed it in front of everybody. And did a lot of damage to it. Question 7: Michelle Moulton, who is the only ever woman to win what?
David. World Rally Championship.
I'll give it to you, David. She didn't win the championship. She won World Rally Championship rounds. I'll pay that. I'll pay that. Question 8. Mitsubishi used AYC. What does the acronym stand for? AYC.
Oh, Ed.
Ed.
Something your control.
Active your control.
I'll give you 0.5 each for that, gentlemen, because Rob helped you out. Active yawn control is correct.
Not active yawn control, as some people pointed out. Power. Look at that.
Definitely not, because the Mitsubishi Evo was definitely not a snore fest to drive. That's where it came out. Question 9. Who styled the Holden Piazza?
David. It was Giugiaro.
Correct. That is correct. Yes, I will pay that.
Giugiaro.
Question.
It was actually
10.
Ace of Clubs. Ace of Clubs, I think, was the name of the concept car that it was based on.
I still think it's a good looking car. I actually quite like it.
Pretty car.
The last question is a brochure question.
Oh.
Okay. Representing one of the most significant changes to four-wheel drives in the last 20 years. Blank's monocoque body with its inbuilt frame has contributed
Ed. Mitsubishi Pajero.
It is Pajero. Well done. That is
you had to get that one right.
That is the quiz. Score check. Rob on 2. Edward on 3.5. And tonight's winner on a grand total of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6... is Mr. David Burns. Well done.
Good score.
Thank you very much.
Very nice.
That's what happens when you play video games, David Prince. Guys,
my listeners laugh their heads off because they know I play next to none.
Well, there you go, Sean. I found you a beta tester for the new Grand Theft Auto. I mean, I'd love it to be me, but I think David Prince has got more gaming prowess. So,
got to say, I watched Gran Turismo whilst I was on the plane on the way to Vietnam. Pretty good movie, I thought. It was all right.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad movie actually. You know, based off a true story. It was a lot of fun. It was actually a lot of fun. The guy that did the racing and stunt driving in the actual movie was the guy that actually was the movie was based on, which is pretty cool.
Mm.
Yeah. So I think Sean, you got some competition. I think you need to offer him a job at Rockstar, and he knew the company. He knew, it was closest to. To be fair, still a bit off, but closest to. So
closest to.
I think you're in the wrong industry, mate. I think
you're a gamer, David. You're a gamer.
Evidently.
Absolute gamer. Absolute total gamer. Gentlemen, I think that is a podcast for this evening.
Good evening, Matthew, Rob, and David.
It's been great.
I just want to say, David Prince and Mr. Edward Bunting, I listen as I do to all your podcasts. I listened to the latest one on the weekend, and I thought Byron was quite funny, and I had a lot of good cards. So good listening. Give your show a plug because it was a quality listening on the last this whole season. To be fair.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Matthew. Yes, have a listen to Auto Retro, the podcast where we talk to guests about the cars of their lives. Latest season, or season 2, has 3 episodes live now, the latest being Byron Matthew Dacus, who is a well-known Aussie motoring journalist who loves all the same old shit that we love. So it's a joy to listen to him passionately taking us through his car collection.
Absolutely. Robert's motorbike riding, tourism in Vietnam, firefighting,
broken bone dodging,
broken bone dodging,
broken, yeah, But not much firefighting these days. That's gone by the way now, I think, firefighting. Touch wood.
it's because you don't have an LTD to work on anymore, mate. That's why.
No LTDs, that's right.
So, so that neighbour complaining, what else can we add to that?
And really not much more. It's been pretty quiet.
Pretty quiet, yeah. But he is your guy for that. Like and share our Facebook pages, Car Talk, TORQ. Manny J, if you miss any of our previous episodes, they're all up on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasting apps. So don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review to us there. Check out our merch, go to our Teespring store, go to teespring.com. Type in Car Talk store there. Or you can support the show by becoming a patron to our Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Car Talk Podcast and support the show there. Gentlemen, honor as always, and I'll see you next time. Take it easy.
Take care.